supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam alaikum, dear brothers and sisters all around the world. Today is a special day, and this program is today's special. We congratulate on the birthday anniversary of Imam Javad, peace be upon him.
ويانا كلمة بالسماء ما بالأرض مبتشرة نحيي لأئمتنا الفرح موسى وجواد العترة ويانا كلمة بالسماء ما بالأرض مبتشرة نحي لأيمتنا الفرح موسى وجواد العترة ازدعنت ضواحي الواسعة أوضح قبس مزدهرة والكل إمام في مولده جدد لهاي الذكرى.
Today Monday is the 10th of Rajab 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 4th of Isfand 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of February 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, happy Eid and congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Javad alayhi salam.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Rearing and upbringing of Imam Javad alayhi salam. It is a very heart-rending fact that at a very early age, Hazrat Imam Muhammad Taghi alayhi salam had to prepare himself to face the hardships and sufferings of life. For a very short time, he could pass his days under the loving and instructive shadow of his father. It was in the fifth year of his age when his father, Hazrat Imam Reza alayhi salam, was forced to leave Medina for the city of Khorasan in Iran. After separation from his father at that age, Imam Muhammad Taghi did not get the opportunity to meet him again in his lifetime. Mamun martyred Imam Reza alayhi salam. The world must have been under the impression that there were now no means left for Imam Muhammad Taghi alayhi salam, whereby to gain access to height of knowledge and accomplishments, and thereby the seat or learning of Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam would remain unoccupied from now onwards. Nevertheless, the amazement of the people knew no bounds when after some time they witnessed this young child taking his seat by the side of Mamun, engaging himself in disputations with eminent scholars on jurisprudence, traditions, exegesis, reasoning, and compelling them to accept his viewpoint. Their astonishment was not to end until they were prepared to admit that against physical means there was also a divine system to impart knowledge and training. Without such a realization, the puzzle could not and cannot be solved. Dear brothers and sisters, on commemoration of birthday anniversary of Imam Javad, today's special expresses its congratulations to all brothers and sisters in faith.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. Regarding the birth anniversary of the 9th infallible Imam, Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam, it's indicated that he was a personality endowed with good character, good behavior, and he was a sublime personality in his lifetime. He was the only son of the 8th infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. And while Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam was taken by force, I mean from Medina to Khorasan to Mashhad, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Jawad alayhi salam was in in Medina. He was regarded as the great personality over there. So we find that in the lifetime of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, while Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam was present in Khorasan, he was present in Khorasan in Mashhad, we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam in Medina resembled the true line, the truthful line of the descendants of the Prophet Muhammad in Medina. Another one is that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was endowed by abundant knowledge. We find that those people who experienced conversation and receiving the answers to the queries from Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, all of them indicated that the type of answers Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam gave to their questions were totally different from the typical answers that they received from other people. At the same time, we find that another outstanding character of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was his spirit of freedom and liberal-mindedness. He never regarded himself to be obedient of anybody save to be an obedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this shows his religious character and his sublime personality. Thank you.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Preaching and guidance. Imam Jawad's speech used to be very attractive and effective. Once during Hajj period, standing amongst the congregation of the Muslim, he delivered a sermon propounding the edicts of the Sharia so beautifully that very eminent scholars were amazed and spellbound. They had to admit that never before they had heard such a consummate speech. During the time of Imam Reza alayhi salam, a grouping of people had come to the fore which entertained the belief that the chain of imamate had ended with Imam Musa Kazim alayhi salam. That means they did not acknowledge Imam Reza as an imam after him. They were called Waqifiyya. During his tenure, Imam Muhammad Taqi so successfully explained the factual position to this sect that all of them abjured their stance, and during his lifetime itself, not a single person of that creed was left. A large number of the scholars acquired from him the true knowledge of the teachings of the house of the Prophet. There is also a treasure of his short sayings of the same pattern as are described to his forefathers, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Dear brothers and sisters, happy the birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad Jawad, peace be upon him.
Jawad al-A'immah ya Sayyidi, atayna liba.
قال الإمام الجواد عليه السلام: تأخير التوبة اغترار وطول التسويف حيرة.
Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam said, postponing repentance is an illusion, and prolonging procrastination is perplexing.
علمنا يقينا بأن الذي يريد الإله بكم يبتدي.
His epithets. As regards his noble epithets, they show his great personality and exalted self. The most common are Al-Jawad, that means the generous. He was called because of his abundant acts of good, beneficence, and charity towards the people. At-Taqi, that means the pious. He was thus called because he feared Allah and turned and resorted to him. He never responded to any incitement of desires or fancy. Al-Mamun, the Abbasid caliph, had tried him with different types of provocations, but he was not deceived. He turned to Allah and preferred his obedience to anything else. Bab al-Murad, that means the gate of hopes. He was known by this epithet amongst the Muslims who believed that he was a gate to which afflicted and needy people resorted in order to rid themselves of their misfortunes and afflictions.
When Al-Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam demonstrated to the world his amazing knowledge at that young age, and this served as evidence that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt are not ordinary people who go to school and there, and that's where they get their knowledge from. Their knowledge is through their fathers, through the Prophet, through Jibreel, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah inspires knowledge in their hearts. Their knowledge is pure, it's divine in its origin. And this was evidence to the Muslim world that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt are chosen by God. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a lesson for us who are raising our youngsters. Al-Imam Al-Jawad was very young when he assumed the leadership. At age 8, imagine. This debate happened just a few years after that. Let us raise our youngsters with the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, with education, with academics. Don't say my children are young. Let them just play and enjoy life. Teach them their religion, my dear brothers and sisters, to the point that they know the religion better than the elders. Our youngsters do have the capacity. Our best tool these days is knowledge. And the youngsters have the ability to absorb knowledge. Sometimes we just teach them the very basics and we think that's enough or more than enough. That is not enough, my dear brothers and sisters. Teach your youngsters the details of Islamic law. Teach them theology. When they're asked a question, they should be able with full confidence to answer that question. Why are you Muslim? Explain to me. A 10-year-old child should be able to eloquently explain why he or she is a Muslim. Why do you believe in God? What's the evidence for God? How do you know Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi is really a messenger? Why is the Quran miraculous? Do our youngsters know the answers to these questions? I think a lot of the adults don't know, let alone the youngsters. And that's unfortunate. Let us be inspired by the legacy of Al-Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam to teach our youngsters, my dear brothers and sisters.
This is the end of today's special. Again, we express our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad Jawad. Peace be upon him. Goodbye.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations on the birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's 9th infallible heir, Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him. Let us listen to his wise words regarding real peace and prosperity in the brief life of this transient world. We are only ladling from this world. He whose belief and religion are the same as his acquaintance will surely accompany that acquaintance everywhere. The life to come is surely the lasting abode.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we'd like to congratulate the Muslim Ummah and especially the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, on this being the birth of his grandfather, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ninth holy Imam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us, inshallah, in the very near future, to do the ziyarah and the visitation of this holy Imam together with his grandfather, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, in the city of Kadhimain or Baghdad, or on the outskirts of Baghdad. On this occasion of the birth of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, we mention a tradition from the holy Imam. It's a very beautiful tradition in which the Imam gives one possible reason why blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not reach us. And this is not because Allah does not want to give us, because the first part of the tradition clearly shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants to give and just wants to increase. But it's on our side and our actions and our lack that prevents this increase and prevents the blessings, and even at times may stop the blessings from reaching us. So the Imam alayhi salam says that the increase of blessings on the side, or rather, you know, from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will never be cut. It is continuous. And the reasons behind it is that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always Rahman, is always Rahim. You know, he is that person who just wants to give. He has, you know, merciful towards all of his creation. And the Imam is saying this will never stop, nor will it ever stop increasing. Allah just wants to give. But the Imam then continues and says, however, this increase and this and these blessings that are being sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not stop until the thankfulness of the servant stops. So here we see there is a relationship between those blessings that we are given and the thankfulness in which we show to those blessings. And in our previous discussions, we emphasized on what thankfulness is. Thankfulness is not just saying, you know, shukr alhamdulillah, or, you know, we're thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just merely with our tongues. No, one of the deeper meanings of thankfulness and shukr is that we use those blessings and gifts in the purpose in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has given us them, and we use it in that regard. That's a deep meaning of what a thankfulness is. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in this regard, that we are those who show thankfulness, and by showing thankfulness, our blessings increase. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who have increased blessings by increased thankfulness. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Dear brothers and sisters, today in the first part of the program, just like our two previous sessions, we are going to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Ibrahim Ramadan, the Tanzanian reciter. This time he's going to recite verses 63 to 67 of Surah Al-Furqan. Dear audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the servants of the Most Merciful are those who walk upon the earth easily. And when the ignorant address them harshly, they say words of peace. And those who spend part of the night to their Lord prostrating and standing in prayer. And those who say, Our Lord, avert from us the punishment of hell. Indeed, its punishment is ever adhering. Indeed, it is evil as a settlement and residence. And they are those who, when they spend, do so not excessively or sparingly, but are ever between that justly moderate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعباد الرحمن الذين يؤمنون
Dear audience, you are still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 63 to 67 of Surah Al-Furqan, recited by the great Tanzanian reciter, Sheikh Ibrahim Ramadan. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this really beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This was the third part of a series of recitations by this reciter from Tanzania, which began from verse 56 of Surah Al-Furqan, and now this is the third part and the last part of his recitation. He starts with verse 63, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. We have in the phrase عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, we have a ra with tashdeed, with shadda. Ra is a letter that is pronounced with the tip of the tongue touching the alveolar ridge, which is behind the upper front teeth.
Ra.
It's a hollow space. Ra. Ra. See, we have the touching of the tip of the tongue against the alveolar ridge. If we don't make the tongue touch the alveolar ridge, we would have, for example, al-rahman,
like an English R,
and we have to make sure that, in fact,
the tap takes place.
Yeah, the tip of the tongue taps that part of the mouth, the alveolar ridge, followed by a dragging motion. Wa'ibadur rahman. See, we drag it backwards.
Mm-hmm. We don't have to keep it there and make a trilling sound.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. We don't want a trilling sound. So if we say wa'ibadur rahman, that's incorrect. Wa'ibadur rahman. We should hear the tapping sound followed by the dragging of the tongue backwards against the roof of the mouth. And that is why they say the ra has the characteristic of inhiraf.
Mm-hmm.
It deviates from its place of articulation toward the place of articulation of ya, which is the hard palate.
Never mind whether it is to be pronounced with fatha or whether it is with tafkhim or tarqiq.
The moving of the tongue backwards always takes place. Mm-hmm. For example, in this verse we had Rabbanasrif, rif, rif.
Yes.
This is again to prevent the trilling sound. Qalu salama. Qalu. The qaf has tafkhim at the highest level because the letter of isla, which has an aliful mad. In the word salama, we have all of the letters have tarqiq.
Thinness.
Salama. we have thinness, so we should make sure that we don't say salama, for example.
Or salama.
Salah, salama, or salama. We have to make sure it's pronounced with, in fact, tarqiq. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ رَا has تَفْخِيم, the word رَبْ, رَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. We have to make sure that the jim is pronounced correctly. The Arabic jim is pronounced سُجَّدًا, جَ. It's not pronounced سُجَّدًا. سُجَّدًا is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
سُجَّدًا or سُجَّدًا. See, if you, the more you go towards the front teeth, the sound changes. Jim is almost in the center of the mouth, where the hard palate is in Arabic.
Something close to J.
Yeah, it's close to J, but it's actually a stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could say an affricate. Have you heard of affricates? Affricate means a combination of a fricative and a stop.
Mm-hmm.
The fricative part is the J, and the stop part is del. J. So it's like a combination of J and D. So يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. The Qaf has a kasra, therefore it has the lowest level of tafkhim. Again, we have وَقْفُ الْإِبْدَالِ here, and with pronunciation of tarqiq, the mim and the ya are pronounced with tarqiq.
قِيَامًا becomes
قِيَامًا.
Mm-hmm.
وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ. The first ra is pronounced with tafkhim, the second one is pronounced with tarqiq. عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. Again, the ja, we have to make sure it's pronounced like an Arabic jim. Even some Egyptian reciters, they pronounce jim like ga, something in between gaf, ga and ja.
How?
Some reciters I've heard.
No,
like
you,
this.
Imitate.
Yes,
this.
I'll demonstrate right now. For example, they say, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. جَهَنَّمْ. See, it's like in between a ga and a ja. But it's not. Because, you know, Egyptians, when they speak their conversational Arabic, is the jims they pronounce like a gaf, like mm-hmm. in the Persian gaf.
This is so, why it takes place
yeah,
within their recitation.
The reciter is trying to pronounce it correctly, but because of his own accent,
uh-huh.
he can't. It's like he tries to, but he's not, you know, so successful.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We continue our discussion about significance of the Quran based on the hadith. In Bihar al-Anwar, late Allama Majlisi quotes this hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عليك بقراءة القرآن. You must recite the Quran. This is not something that it's just recommended, it's an option, or, you know, it's better to do. No. It's a requirement of faith that you should read the Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منام سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن
اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in glorification and remembrance of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then we send our congratulatory messages to our 12th and living Imam Al-Hujjah, Ajalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif, and to each and every one of you as we gather on this evening to celebrate the Wiladat anniversary of our 9th Imam, Imam Al-Jawad, Alayhima Afdalu Salatu Wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We pray to Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that we each get an opportunity to go for the ziyarat of our Imam in Kazmiya and that we receive his shafa'at in the hereafter, insha'Allah. It's this idea of having the intellect guide us is what I want to talk about today. In Islam, the intellect is one of the greatest gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam were master intellectuals. And so as the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, we too have to utilize our intellect to guide us and to increase our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make us know what to do at the right time and how to act at the right time. This intellect that we're talking about is not an intellect that is driven by irrational fear, nor is it an intellect that is driven by paranoia. Rather, it's an intellect that is driven by experts, by masters of certain subjects, by masters of guidance. And when we follow the teachings of these experts and the guidance and utilize our intellect, we will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be able to fulfill and complete our faith. Keep that in mind in what we're going to talk about today. And that is that when we look at the life of our 9th Imam alayhi salam, there are many beautiful qualities that we can look at, many beautiful characteristics that we can look at to learn from. But I want to concentrate just on his age. We all know that our Imam alayhi salam became the Imam of the Ummah of the world at the age of 8, a very young age, and was martyred at the age of 25. I want us to reflect on that, right, for a moment. And this young life that the Imam alayhi salam led, yet we will never find any moment in the Imam's life where he allowed the distractions of dunya to take him away from the ultimate goal. Because he knew that every breath that we have is a moment in which we can capitalize that opportunity, maximize that opportunity to give us the highest level of success in the hereafter. The intellect tells us that we are all going to reach an end to our lives. The intellect also tells us that there is no guarantee of how long our life will be, right? We have all seen, we have experienced within our own communities, we can look in the world that we live in, that people who are generally healthy will one day cease to live. People who, there's no discrimination basically when it comes to age or when it comes to death. And so this is something that our intellect understands. And so we have to then follow the prescriptions of that intellect in how to live our life and how to maximize our life. And so when we look at the life of our Imam alayhi salam, naturally we will find every waking moment of the Imam alayhi salam is used to make sure that the provisions that one requires for the hereafter are being gathered. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse that we recited in the khutbah, He says in surah number 2, verse number 197, وَمَا تَفَعْلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ, that whatever good you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And then He says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, He says, gather your provisions. Yeah, make sure you have everything ready. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى, and the best provision that you can gather for yourself is God consciousness. That means that every moment in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, is this particular deed or is this particular act going to help me in securing a better position in the hereafter, a closer position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter? And if the answer is no, then our intellect should tell us that this is not something we should be engaging in. While if it is something that our intellect knows to be beneficial for us in the hereafter, then naturally we should incline ourselves towards that and drive ourselves towards maximizing that opportunity. Because the best of deeds, as Allah says, the best of provisions that we could have is God consciousness. What I want to do in the remaining part of this lecture is just look at a couple of pieces of advice that our ninth Imam, alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad, gives us on how we can gather the provisions the best and how we can utilize every moment of this life to make sure that we are going towards or leading towards this lofty place next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam has many traditions in this regard, but we're going to focus on a couple inshaAllah. The first is the Imam alayhi salam says, تَأَخِيرُ التَّوْبَةِ اغْتِرَارٌ. He says that delay of repentance is delusion. وَطُولُ التَّصْوِيفِ الْحَيْرَةِ, and excessive procrastination is perplexity or confusion or bewilderment. We'll discuss this inshaAllah. وَاِعْتِلَالُ عَلَى اللَّهِ هَلَكَ, and that to be arrogant towards Allah, to think you are higher than Allah, better than Allah, is destruction. وَالْإِصْرَارُ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ أَمْنٌ لِمَكْرِ اللَّهِ, and the persistence on sins is a security against Allah's unexpected retribution. In other words, we are relying on something that Allah will, relying on this idea that Allah will not punish us. That's the perception that I am giving when I act in this. And He says that, of course, Allah says in the Quran, فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and none feels safe from the retribution of Allah except for those who are lost, yeah, misguided, khasirin, those who have lost everything. The Imam alayhi salam here gives us very simple things that you and I can work on in our lives to try to make sure that we don't waste any opportunity, right? We have established the fact, my brothers and sisters, that life is precious. We don't know the hurdles and challenges that tomorrow will bring, and we don't know what opportunities tomorrow will bring, but today is an opportunity. Today is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which we must maximize everything that we do. So the Imam alayhi salam mentions four things that we want to discuss. The first thing he says, تَأَخِيرُ التَّوْبَةِ اغْتِرَارِ, that delaying of repentance is a form of delusion. We've all had these moments. You know, when we reflect, when we think about our lives, I think we all can feel that I can do something better. I can stop something that is excessive. I can stop something that is delaying my progression towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what happens? We say we'll do it tomorrow, right? This happens all the time. You know, somebody who wants to exercise, when will they think about exercising? At night, when they're in bed, they're like, ah, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to do it. When the reality is that that's not when we should be having these moments, right? We should be having these moments during times when I can actually do that particular action. And many things in our lives are very similar when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I have things that I owe to God, but I push it off. There are things that I need to repent for, but I push it off. There are things that I need to do to improve my life, but I push it off. It's a delusional existence that I have because it does not align with what the intellect is telling me. The intellect is telling me that at any moment could be my last moment. The intellect is telling me that things can change drastically to where I may not have the same opportunities. And why is the intellect telling me this? Because we see it everywhere, right? We see it everywhere. News, social media, we see what's happening around the world and we realize that from any moment to another, life can change. And yet when I don't use what God is telling me, and yet when I don't use the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me, I am living a delusional life, isn't it? I am living a life out of reality. And this is what the Imam alayhi salam is saying, that look, when you know that you have sins that you need to seek forgiveness for and you don't do it, you are living in a delusional existence.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi عليم الحال حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ocean of Dua.
Thumma inni as'aluka al-huda wat-tuqa wal-'afafa wal-ghina.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allah.
brothers and sisters, you're all aware that there was a clash in explicit manner, and it did not contain any ambiguity for the one who had a heart, who had ears, who was actually attentive. In the encounter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, together with his 72 of his family members and companions on one side, and Yazid and the family of Umayyah and their army, and from their army, which were from Sham and Iraq, on the other side, there was a clear clash, and there remained no ambiguity for the one who had who had a heart. In this battle, each of the two conflicting sides comes to the fore with its reality, without any ambiguity. Imam Hussein alayhi salam emerges with the guidance of the prophethood, whilst Yazid appears with the arrogance of the transgressors, with the arrogance of the oppressors and tyrants. The Battle of Taf, or Karbala, was indeed a separating line between the two sides, such that after it, no one up to this day has remained in obscurity with regard to this dispute. There has remained no one not being able to distinguish the truth from the falsehood, except for those whose light Allah has taken away, and has sealed their hearts and hearings, and has blindfolded them.
Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalali wal-ikram, wal-fadli wal-in'am, alladhi ba'uda fala yura, waqaruba fashahida al-najwa.
Now, having a look at what we previously mentioned, you may understand that it is within the framework of this conflict that the visitor of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the Zair of Hussein, son of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives testimony for him that he established prayers. He was the one who gave zakat. He struggled in the way of the Almighty Allah. The visitor and Zair also confesses for the offspring of Imam Hussein alayhi salam after him, in extension to his clash, the clash which its links are connected with one another after the event of Karbala. So the visitor is confessing for the offspring of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with the divine successorship, with authority and leadership of the nation from the Almighty Allah. So he has had the rights for imamah, wilayah, and qiyadah of the ummah. So some of the phrases of this ziyarah, which contain this shahada, are saying, I bear witness that you conveyed from Allah what he had ordered you with, and did not fear anyone other than him. You strived in his way and worshipped him sincerely till the inevitable visited you. I give testimony that you are